This is Why Not You, and I am your host, D. Wells. Welcome to part two with Michaela. Now, despite a tough environment at work and her facing her own personal challenges, Michaela embodies resilience. She defines success as just staying true to who you are and persisting through adversity, never ceasing to learn and grow. And we dived into how age and other societal labels should never deter you from your path. And Michaela left us with a powerful message: inspire, push through self-doubt with discipline, and lean on faith. This episode is a must listen. So tune in and let's rise together. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
I need a calculator for that. I can't do that. But it's like, the baby was learning at that age. So it's like the younger you learn, the easier it will be when you get an adult. And then when somebody asks you what you want to do, you know where you want to go. You know what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. You said something when you were just talking about, you know, just being bullied or just people thinking that, you know, what you're doing is just different and not really understanding what it is that you're really about. Because I think there's so many people who would just be labeled as different because they're not going along with status quo type of speak, right? Or they're not doing what most people are doing. So if you're not doing what the norm is doing, then they're going to try to label you as something else. But when you think about like all the people that are like really like geniuses or who've done something significant, they isolated themselves. I mean, you think about Einstein, or you think about, I don't know, maybe like somebody like Bill Gates and what he was doing, or just anybody, or even, you know, Martin Luther King, who is like, you know what, even though it wasn't something that he was, I guess, trying to do as far as like lead, like the civil rights, people recognize that gift and talent in him where he is able to connect with other people and speak. And so they're like, oh man, why don't you like kind of represent the people and go out there and do some things. And once he actually did it, you know, things started transpiring. And next thing you know, he's influencing not only the Black community, but the white community also.
Yeah,
and you're actually getting ostracized for the good that you're doing. And so then you think about, you know, people who are in, you know, faith oriented people who there's always going to be somebody that's going to be critiquing and criticizing. And one thing I learned and heard was that people who criticize, they don't have nothing better to do but criticize. So don't worry about them folks, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I came from crack parents that were on drugs, fought to be here, had to be that little, I mean, my story is probably like one of those lifetime stories, and they probably end up writing a book, and I probably will make a movie one day. And like, it's like almost like I forgot what that movie is called with Halle Berry, where the baby was in the trash. She was the drug addict and stuff like that.
Losing Isaiah or something like that.
Yes, that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
It's as close as that can be to that story and getting sick and not even knowing. I mean, my mom, who raised me, I didn't even know. I found out I was adopted at 7. I didn't even know. Like, it's hard. I will say one thing: to raise kids multiple kids at that. There's 10 of us, and there's 6 of us that are adopted. To raise 10, to I have 2, they stressed me out. But thinking about it, my mom, to have raised 6, adopted 6 kids, had her own kids, been a nurse, graduated, knew God, knew her wrongs and everything, to take on children and love them as their own, as if we came from her womb, is one of the most, it's like you've been chosen. I remember the word that she said to me before she passed. It was the last few months I was there until I went out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you were that little child that I always wanted, that she could dress up and put in pageants, like, because I was the only one that was willing to do it, really. Yeah. My other brothers and sisters, they didn't even want to do that stuff. And that's a big task, and to actually take care of kids that are actually sick, mm-hmm. really, really sick. And we grew up with that. Well, for me, I had ADHD, so I was really, like, I couldn't comprehend reading really well, and I actually like reading. I didn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend it. I had, like, a learning disability in school. I was in part of the smaller classes, and I'm not ashamed of that. I say it with, it was embarrassing in school because everybody was like, oh, she's going to a little small class.
Yeah.
Oh, she's stupid. She's dumb and this. And I'm telling you, I was Miss, I would do everything
mm-hmm.
which people would think is cool.
Yeah.
And and they're still saying loser. It was really more of the educational side. Cause I was more of a squeaky clean kid. I wasn't out there doing the stuff that they got. I don't even know what they were doing, but I know that they wasn't supposed to be doing that. Smoking weed and all that. I don't do that. But I did pageants, and I was Miss Gwinnett Queen in 2005. Nice. Miss Black United States in 2008, won the Broad Award for Miss Gwinnett for Gwinnett County, and was on TV for the work that I did through the community. I got to do autographs for the Special Olympics. No, not special. Yeah, it was. It was down in Georgia. I forgot where it was, but I did all this stuff, and I was still picked on. I was part of the dance team, still picked on, but literally couldn't even learn the routine. I could sit there and watch the routine. I couldn't. I didn't have my physical, so they were like, "Oh, we don't want you. We don't want to be responsible if you fall, or whatever." So I literally had to watch it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like looking like, "Yeah, move like this. Yeah, shimmy, shimmy." And I was like, "What is going on? I can't. Can I get up? I'm not gonna break a leg."
Yeah.
And I got, and I ended up getting on the dance team. They were still like, "You're a loser. You're not smart." They were always saying I was retarded. That's all I got to hear in high school. And it was really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I kind of psyched myself out when I got to college. I was very bullying does do something to you. It gives you anxiety. It makes you like very timid. It makes you like kind of like you don't want to break out your shell. So when I went to college, I was actually suffering from like having panic attacks and anxiety. I was very overwhelmed. And I didn't realize that when you went to college that nobody cares if you're in special ed or anything. They don't even know that you're in special ed. So when I went to college, I actually flunked out because I didn't want to get the help. And now that I want to go back to college, I can't go back because of my scholarship funds. But I quit because I felt like I wasn't doing it for myself. I was kind of doing it for my mom,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know where I wanted to go for school. So I felt like I was already wasting it. So I was like, no, we're just going to stop right there and then come back a few years later.
Right.
This show is literally like, hopefully in praying that Debbie Allen gets the message and I send out invitations to hopefully see if she'll see it. Because that's my really big goal, is for Debbie Allen to see it. I know she's a dean in Howard University. It's a college that my sister used to go to. And I love her story. And it's funny because everybody's like, when you're dancing, you should know all these people that dance. And actually, I didn't know Debbie Allen until I was a few years ago. I knew of her face. I didn't know of who she was and what she represented. And
you gotta pull up those old fame videos.
Yes. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
She was in Fame, and I believe I looked up the age of how old she was when she did Fame. Mm-hmm. Girl looked good when she did it. She was older. She had her kids and then did it.
Was she in her 40s?
She was 35, I believe.
She was 35? Okay.
I think she was 35. And then she ended up having her business mm-hmm. in San Francisco at 40 something years old. Mm-hmm. And I say that the age that they have, the expectation of age they have in the dance, world is ridiculous. I feel like I'm so kind of discouraged because they're always like, you got to be 18. But I read back her story. She ended up auditioning for El Vanelli. She got rejected. And I was like, whoa. But Debbie Allen, she was flipping her legs and moving around, falling on the floor when she was doing Fame. And I was like, wow. I think in 2024, we all think that we have to have business right when we hit 25, mm-hmm. which is not bad because I am really like that. Like, I'm like, I need this to be done at 30, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I kind of settled and it was like, I was like, okay, take it little by little. Mm-hmm. Debbie Allen had her business at 40 something. So I'm a little, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's good. I like it. You just said, you talked about the age difference. I think a lot of people put these limiting beliefs on themselves. Some people might say, I'm too old to do something. Some people might say, I'm too young to start this. I just want to kind of live my life or whatever. And I agree with all of that. I mean, well, not all of that was, you know, but the live the life part, I agree with. Just getting more experience because you never know like what's going to happen, what kind of doors are going to open. And one thing leads to another. If you're like just kind of being in that mindset where you're just like being real like attentive and a place of like discernment where you're listening and you're following the right path, you're working on yourself, right? You're doing getting like mm-hmm. the personal development piece in. Because that's one thing I know is that you cannot grow others unless you grow yourself. And so, it's significant. But the part that kills me is like, just that age piece when people say, oh, I'm too old. And I mean, so then that's when you really got to like, just kind of look back at history, whether it's the Bible or just other people that have achieved things, just older or just at a, I guess like a more mature phase of their life, whether, you know, they're in their 40s, 50s or 60s or 70s. I mean, if you have an idea or a dream, take action on that puppy. Take action.
Yes. I hear from moms a lot. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, I remember one mom, I was at Gold's Gym and I was working on my pirouettes. I say I'm really, really not a strong pirouetter, but I do know how to spin, and I can spin and work with the spins I got to make them look like they're the best.
Yeah.
She was like, can I record you? And I was like, yeah. And she had posted this thing. She was like, I was just looking for somebody that could teach dance, and there she go. And she was telling me she wish she would have did dance early. And I was just like, you got life in you're breathing, right? Your heart's still pounding, right? You could still do that. There's no reason why you don't have to learn. I really wanted to influence moms, single moms, whatever type of mom, a mom that has six kids, whatever. You could still do what you want to do. And and chase your dream, where stopping you? You also want to make sure to influence the child that you have, that to go out and get it. Then if you don't do it, then how can you tell him to go out and do it if you don't do it? That's hypocritical. Yeah. You're literally like, go to college, do this, do that. Did you go to college? They're looking, and then they grow up and they're like, I went to college, but my mom was a very big hypocrite. No, I don't want none of my kids. I don't want none of my children saying nothing. I want them to be remain silent. I was like, why you were screaming in my class when I was doing ballet? I was still, my daughter, she would scream in certain aspects, want me to hold her in this class. And it used to irritate me. Mm-hmm. It would feel unprofessional, but I still continued it. I even had my son who was literally like, mommy, it's okay. Don't cry. I'm like, I'm literally crying to my kid. I'm like, I'm telling my son, where were you when Kira was crying? Where are you? And he was literally just sitting there. I was like, I'm crying and she's stressing me out. And he's like, he's becoming like this big old man and supporting me. And he was like, mommy, it's okay.
That is wild.
You cried? Go back in there and do it. That's how he is. That's why he be dancing the way he dances.
Yeah.
And I just say, be that example for your children. You don't have to dance. What is your gift? Is it being patient? Is your gift to be the, if you're patient, that's a gift. I don't have that gift.
Yeah.
Is it patience? Is it listening to someone? What are you going to do with the gift? And what are you, how are you going to help people? Why be so selfish with the gift and not be able to share it? Like, I don't understand that. Share the gift. Muhammad Ali shared it. He even told us, he basically told us, he said, somebody asked him in an interview one time. And I tell you, when I do training and I do physical training, I go to boxing, UFC. I had to get into that mentality. Like, Creed, you got to fight somebody type of thing. Yeah. One more mile, McKinley. Yeah. One more. It's a motivational thing.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali, somebody asked in an interview, how many sit-ups do you do? He was like, I don't count my sit-ups. I only count it when it starts hurting. He just gave us insight on any type of exercise or workout we do.
Yeah.
Stop trying to do your little sequence. Oh, we're going to do 3 sets of 30. Yeah. No, you need to start counting when it starts hurting. That's when you get the abs in. Yeah. That's when you are in pain, that's when you got to get a push a little bit more.
Right.
Yes.
It is a mindset. It is a mindset. And it's funny that you talked about Muhammad Ali, because one of the guys in our accountability group who I talked to bi-weekly in a coaching session actually use that same illustration with Muhammad Ali, talking about he doesn't start counting till he starts feeling the pain, right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Because some people, I mean, you just think about like what you just said. You could go in there and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing today. I'm doing 4 sets of 10 on bench. I'm doing some triceps. I'm doing some lunges or whatever. But what if you're just doing a bench and you know, you got some weight on there, but it's not really making you strain, or there's not enough resistance to actually develop the muscles or tone the muscles, whatever it is that you want to do. You're just going through the motions. You're just over there.
Then we're asking why that's just the weight scale don't be going down.
Right.
Like maybe one, you're intaking more food than you really need to, and two, you're not pushing yourself.
Yeah.
I don't have money to get a trainer. I don't have that type of money. I don't have none of that sitting around. I don't even have time in my day to be having a trainer. So I'm my trainer. Sometimes you don't have nobody telling you, hey, go ahead and run. Let me run with you. You have to learn how to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I say sometimes it sucks because you want somebody to support you and want somebody to be like, okay, one more. No, sometimes you just don't got it.
Yeah.
I have to say that to myself. I don't have that.
Right.
I will say sometimes even my own family, I'd be like, oh, I just sent my proposal off.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, nice. I'm like, I just sent my proposal off. congratulate. They don't get it. That's a big thing.
Right.
Even if it's the rough draft, like, it's like I'm having to pat myself on the back, and it gets like, I get emotional. I'd be like, they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, like, even with some of my family, like, I'd be like, I have a podcast interview to tell my story, and they're like, cool. Okay. And they're not getting it yet.
Well,
until they sit down in front of the seats, and I will be loved to see that their facial expression.
And so what you're saying right now, it reminds me of this, because here I have this podcast. I'm doing it because, one, there were some people that I've come across who had the ideas and dreams, and I know they're gifted, but they're letting outside distractions or just the lack of, or, you know, just fear or apprehension of getting out there and thinking somebody's going to talk trash about them. And so they're not operating, right? So I'm doing that. And I know it's also just a part of evangelism also, because we incorporate faith in it, right?
Right.
Now, but do you think, like, all the family are, like, just, like, supportive and tuning in? It's not. And so what it made me think of, and I already knew this, like, off the jump, was that I go back to scripture, and then I think about Jesus going home. This is after he's already healed people. Does he get welcome back home? No, he doesn't. That's why he stays abroad, and he's healing people and sharing his message. And so one thing that I'm always reminded of is that do what you do, not for yourself, but for other people out there who will, they're going to hear the story of Michaela. They're going to know what you're doing, and it's not going to be the family that we wish or want to be a part, but it's going to be the people from the outside, like Wade or the person that you've connected with, who is doing the makeup and getting you some more exposure and helping you with your craft. So it's just part of our journey, right? Part of your journey. It's part of your journey.
And it's funny because anytime I go into Uber, it's like just naturally. And I'd be like, yes, I'm directing a show. Because when I go to work, I work at Carrabba's. I'm actually the only person on the line that's a female. And I tell you, the mental state that I had to go into Carrabba's and be one of their cooks or chefs, it's really, really hard. They have this mentality in the kitchen. It's really sad. And I'm over here having to work twice as hard. Like I said, I can't go to school right now. So when I took this job as a learning experience to be a chef and everything. And, I go into it with the mindset. It's like, I could do whatever I want to do. And, it gets discouraging. And when I go into the Ubers, I literally, they'd be like, oh, you like Carrabba? I like Carrabba. You're a cook. Yeah, I'm a cook. And I'm like, yeah, I'm actually directing my own show and stuff. I just went to the hospital 2 days ago because I was so stressed on the line. Nobody really noticed and didn't really care to notice. They were literally probably discussing something amongst the kitchen, which was like, oh, she left. Oh, she's not coming back. They're so negative. And it's like, no, honey, I'm trying to make sure I don't have a heart attack so I can finish out what I need to do.
Yeah.
I was so stressed. I'm 26 right now, about to be 27 in a couple of days. And the doctor, he was like, oh, you're a chef? Are you going to do something big? You don't want to go and be a chef for the big old hotel? I'm like, I'm directing a show. He saw I wear my head wrap a lot. I don't really keep my hair out. And he was talking about my culture. And I was like, yeah, my grandmother, she's Cuban and she's not from Ghana. And that's the history of my family. And then on my other side is Nigerian and stuff. And I was just like, I just rep it. I represent it because that's where, that's my culture on my skin. I wear it very proudly, no matter where I'm at. But the stress and it did weigh on me. But I go into these Ubers and I end up telling them about what I'm creating. Not to brag or anything, but it's like, you will see me again. And I hope you do come to my show.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, wow, and stuff. And it just naturally comes to me. It's not something I want to keep silent.
Right.
That's nothing. Good. Yeah.
Listen, I have just a couple more questions real quick because I know you're busy and I know you got to go in your time. But I guess at this phase of your life, how would you define success?
Success is something I feel like people think success is when you get a big house and in all this money, and success to me is something that you have allowed yourself to work on through hard times and good times, and you have learned to overcome it, mm-hmm. and to still stay true to yourself, and you have made something of yourself in those tough times. Like I said, I lost a lot. I lost my car last year from somebody that backed up on my car during my homeless stage. And I had nowhere to go. And things came about. And when I say success is what it looks like right now, that's what it looks like. It's me being able to pull myself up and put my ballet leotard back on and keep walking forward in building this stuff and still be able to go here and be like, okay, we need to do that. We need to do this. I still keep going forward as everybody's like, oh, you need to focus on getting this and that. Honey, I'm doing that, but I'm going to keep doing that while I'm going to keep chasing my dream and doing that while I am. Like, I'm still going to keep going forward, doing the personal stuff I need to do while doing my show and directing it. I'm not stopping for nothing. I'm not stopping if there's a tornado. I'm not stopping if I'm homeless. I'm not stopping when there's no car. I'm not stopping none of that, because why stop? What is the reason for stopping? We all go through personal stuff in life. We lose stuff, we gain stuff. Truthfully, we're not going to even have any of this stuff when we go before God. So it doesn't matter. Materialist thing isn't anything. Money isn't anything. And I say I'm successful because I kept my craft the way it is. And I pushed forward and I still was willing to learn. The biggest problem people have in life is that they say that stuff is competitive and stuff, everybody's doing the same thing. No, actually the art, where everybody's always looking for a dancer. And it's really the only way to become a better dancer or a better cook or a better lawyer or all this is that you are 100% open to learning, reading, studying from the person that's probably better than you.
Right.
It is the simplest thing. We all have this brain. We all can soak in as like a sponge and grip it and learn from it. Because you do that till you're 90 and stuff. Why do they say piano? Like they say, oh, you got to learn piano at 4 in order to be a great pianist later. There are some people that have played piano in the first 2 years, like in their 50s, and I wouldn't even know. I'm thinking that they're Beethoven, Mozart. They're this big old composer. I'm like, dang. I didn't even know. It was one thing, because I do study artists and I do study jazz musicians. Miles Davis, he actually didn't have no teaching whatsoever. He actually picked it up and started learning it. He started tweaking these little notes. And I was like, Miles?
Yeah, that's a bad man. Huh? That's a bad man.
John Coltrane. Yeah. Savion Glover, who's a tap dancer. They didn't have teaching. What's his name? I can't say his name. Sammy Davis Jr., for goodness sakes. A man didn't have any teaching. One of the greatest of our time. Yeah. And even Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou, she hers is inspiring because she was abused as a child. She became silent. Then she started just writing. She didn't know nothing about writing a biography. And she sat there every single day and wrote little by little to create and build her story. Denzel Washington, he didn't even sing. He doesn't sing. Right. And he was in a Broadway. He was in a Broadway show for Fences. I'm like, come on now. You tell me that is not God. Those people, and they want to talk about Hollywood weird. Who cares about Hollywood weird? There are some actually good people like Denzel Washington, Maya Angelou, Cicely Tyson, those that have kind of, you know, some that have passed or whatever. And they all say the same thing. Maya Angelou sat in that last, I think on one of her last interviews with Oprah, and she was like, God loves me. And it was like, God really loves me. And she started breaking down. And it was like, whoa, like, you think that some have lost their way because of money. Those are some people who had good success, and actually some that may have not had, they've had success and was still able to say the success in life is making sure first and foremost, or building your business or whatever, first and foremost is God and praying.
Yes.
Denzel Washington, he says it. He said it to Will before he slapped somebody. I mean, after he slapped somebody. But we're not going to talk about that today because I know everybody laugh. But Denzel Washington, Maya Angelou, Cicely Tyson, they all said the same thing. So when I say success to me is something that you are able to fight through the outside noise and able to still be able to sit there and say, I still do the same thing I've been doing since 4 years old in art. Yeah. Not like the adults, like, not like, oh, I still been smoking since four. Like, no.
Yeah.
I don't know where you've been, but that's not right. You need to change that. Yeah. Yes.
That is good. I mean, yeah, because there are so many people who just, especially like the younger generation, you know, they see whatever they see on social media or on TV, and they think that's success when that's somebody else's version of success. And so all of a sudden, if that's all they see, that's what they adopt, and they feel like, well, this is what I need to do in order to be successful. And in the meanwhile, while they're trying to chase that kind of success, they're losing their identity. Because they're not being true to themselves or just being authentic. And so, man, what you said a lot in this. It's impactful. Some people go, people are going to be able to resonate with that.
Just stay true to yourself. Be who you are.
Right.
Don't change for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, I swear, money is the root of all evil. And yeah. I would like to buy some stuff in life. Yeah. I'm not. The best success really is if I leave this world and I know where I'm going. That is my success.
Your success.
But until then, I will make sure I'll make sure to wear God on my sleeve and make sure when I do my speeches that God is the first one that I think. When I go and I do my show, and God even gave me my vision for my second show. And and it's going to be really good, but making sure to kind of to put him first. Yeah. And sometimes when you're getting down and you're getting depressed and you don't know where to go, at least he's not asking for much, but to just say thank you.
Right.
It could be like just saying God or anything. His power is really, really strong. It's really like a thunder. And you don't see it, yeah. but you can feel it. And right. it will knock you down if you ain't paying attention sometimes. Or if you're asking for something, and then he'll do it. God has really, in this, what I'm going through, God is removing. I'm talking about, it's so funny, McDonald's, for instance. I went to go get a fry and a drink. I couldn't go into the Uber without the drink. And I feel like that was funny because I really wasn't even supposed to be eating that or drinking that because I'm in training, physical training. I feel like that was God. If he was in front of me, I feel like that was him like slapping that fry and drink out my hand. Like, you don't need that.
Right.
Strictly, he will find ways to make sure that you, as you're moving off the road and you're not paying attention, he will bring you right back to where you need to be and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And so... Before I let you go, there's a lot of people out there who just, I mean, they might be battling some kind of circumstance. They might be battling some kind of challenge, some kind of self-limiting belief. Can you share just with the listeners who are just, maybe they're just in that place of, they got the ideas, they have a passion that they want to pursue, but they're just stuck in a place right now. Can you share something to get them motivated or help them get unstuck?
Whatever you're going through, go through it. Don't numb it with alcohol or drugs or anything to suppress it, pills, whatever. This is a dying society right now, because everybody wants to be hooked on something to numb their feelings. I tell you, that doesn't work. I haven't got hooked on those stuff because I learned from seeing other people like that. But I say it, go through it, and go through it with sobriety. Go through it without having to numb anything. And when you do go through it, don't be ashamed of it, because everybody is going through something. Everybody is dealing with, we're in a recession. We have lost people. We're grieving, you know, where everybody is dealing with something. We've lost homes. You may be on the street right now and not have anything but the phone in your hand saying, God, why me? But I tell you, whatever the devil meant for evil, I say it, God will turn it to good. And I know you people say, well, God isn't helping me because he took this away from me. He did that away. I hear it a lot from grieving people. I don't like, they stay away from God after they lose somebody because God took the one person that was there for them. But I say this, your parents probably did whatever they need to, whoever who was supervised, like your friend. God has a reason for everything and anything. And it's really to turn it and steer it back, that he's the one that can help you and guide you, that there's nothing in this world that you need but him. I know how it feels to be in the desert and be thirsty. Literally, I was in a desert in El Paso. In the desert and being thirsty and feeling it with stuff like, oh, I need a man. Oh, I need a best friend. Oh, I need a food. I need chocolate cake. No, you don't. You don't need nothing. You need God. You need Jesus. You need to surrender your life. And we say that, I'm so ashamed of myself because I did that. But I say God is just God. And he's not this, oh, I'm almighty. No, he's just God. He's literally standing right next to us. All we got to do is say, God, help me. Please get me out of this. And anything and to cut people out that are not of God, that are not. And if you don't believe, I hope and pray that somebody shows you that is God, that they pray for you and that they steer you towards God, because there's nothing in this world that says you will go to the Almighty or go to heaven if you don't go to God. It is not it's not a fact. It's why, like, you need God. We are not strong. Flesh, we're not strong. Spirit, we're strong. And in order to activate the Spirit, Holy Spirit, activate, you need what? God. In order to activate that Spirit that is in all of us. So we can get through our fleshly desires.
You all heard it first from Miss Mikayla Johnson. Girl, I appreciate you coming on. That's an awesome story. And you could definitely see the level of transformation that you've actually gone through. That got you to this point now where you're gonna be directing a dance production, which is that's pretty significant. That's not something to be taken lightly. So we're definitely gonna be supporting you, and I can't wait for Creaky to open up.
Yes. I'm still thinking of that name. I'm trying to think.
Whether it's Creaky or something else.
Like, everybody's gonna buy like a fan and be like, why not Johnson? Like,
yeah.
I'm thinking about it. I named the stage Johnson.
That's there you go.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you so much. I know I'm gonna be like blabbing about this, like be like, oh my god.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Thank you, Mikayla, for coming on and then sharing your life story. What a remarkable human being she is. And you can just tell she is just full of life. And she's going to make it. She is doing it. The first step is, in any type of success, is initiating that first step. And I just want to thank her for just being completely vulnerable and transparent. And we got a chance to really hear about her incredible journey. Her story is a testament to how embracing your true identity and welcoming life's unpredictable nature and maintaining faith can lead to a life of fulfillment and success. And her journey from past hardships to her upcoming dance production, The Art of Love, serves as an example that it's never too late to transform your narrative. Y'all be who you are, be who God has made you to be, and never compromise. This is D. Wells. Y'all all have a blessed week. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain what we are.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.